Welcome to the Road of Faith Seminar, my friends. So glad you're with us today. And we hope to stay with us throughout the whole seminar because we've got some wonderful things coming up, Word of God coming up. And so before we get started, let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity to gather around your word and to look into the truth of the matter, who we are, what we're consisting of, how you made us, how you've joined with us, and how we're joined with you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for revealing these wonderful truths to us, that we might walk in victory, that we might live down here in this present world in victory and in power, and understanding how to allow you to work in our lives in a greater way. We thank you, Father, for all of these things. We thank you for showing us the unlimited potential that we have with you. And we give you praise for everything that you're revealing to us by your Spirit today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us. Thank you for helping us now. And we give you praise for your presence in this seminar and just have your way throughout the whole thing. And we give you thanks, Lord Jesus, for everything you're doing in us. Thank you, Father, all these wonderful things you're doing in us and all the wonderful things you're showing us by your Spirit. Thank you for your word. And we give you praise for bringing things out according to your will, according to what you want done today. In Jesus' name, thank you for it. Amen. You agree with that today? All right. Well, then let's get into that expectant mode. I'm in that expecting mode. Well, you know, when you're expecting something, that means if you've got the Word of God on something, and that means you believe it and you can expect it come to pass in your life. Amen. So if there's no expectation running in there, if you're not expecting him to do much, well, you're not going to probably, you're probably not going to experience a whole lot. You're not going to experience much, not what he wants you to, because he wants you to get into that expectant mode, into that faith mode, into that believing mode, and confident mode in him. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get into the word here. Let's talk about our main scripture of this whole seminar, this whole series. And it's found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Everything. All things. All things means all things. Everything's different now. Well, we know if you have received Jesus, you know good and well that when you received Jesus, you got looked in the mirror, and you look pretty much the same as you did the day before, right? Well, when it says all things have become new, they really have. You just, your body just hadn't caught up yet to what's really happened. That's the truth of the matter. I mean, later on, our body's going to catch up to us. Okay. But right now, this thing that he has done into us is instant. And once you receive Jesus into your heart, it's an instant thing. He comes in there and he recreates you. You give him permission to come in there and change things in you. When you receive Jesus, you receive his life, and you receive all this new creation. And of course, looking at the outside, you can't tell what happened in there. And you may know a little bit about what happened in there. Listen, I've been looking at this thing for over 50 years and I feel like I just, you know, I'm just now after 50 years trying to and getting a little bit of an understanding about how things work and what's going on here. And what he wants to do through me. It's an individual walk now. Your walk's going to be different. Your perception of who you are in Christ and what he's doing in you is a very personal, very unique thing. This unique blend that we have with him. There's nothing that's like it. There's no one like you in the whole universe. I mean, what you have with the Lord now is so personal and so unique. Nobody else has what you have. No, they don't. Nobody. I don't care who they are. I don't care where they come from or how big they want to puff themselves. What, they can't be you. They can't be you. No, they can't, because you are unique. No one like you. No one's been created like you. And so that which you have with the Lord is a very unique blend in there. And so we want to develop that which he has shown us personally. We want to just go in the directions and flow in the ways that he wants us to flow and be about what he wants us to be about. I mean, in business or whatever it is, your job, he wants to be involved in all these things in your life and bring you into good things. No matter what you've experienced in the past, he wants to bring you out. He wants to bring you up. He wants to heal your body. He wants to help you with those emotional things. He wants to get you out of them old mindsets that are destructive. You see, we have to renew our... Let's go over here to Romans 12 real quick. Let's see if I can find it here on my 2008 MacBook. But Romans chapter 12 basically was saying, I'm not trying to look at it, I'm just pulling it on out of my memory here, but it says that we're not to be conformed to this world. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says we're not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be renewed in our mind, that we can prove that which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we do that through the renewing of the mind and understanding and seeing things correctly the way that the Lord sees them. And when we get into that renewing of the mind, we begin to see right. We begin to see who we are in Christ. We begin to understand who we are in Christ. Well, it's a process. The renewing of the mind is not going to happen in you overnight. You know what I mean? It's something that's going to take some time in your life for you to assimilate it. And to understand it and to change your way of thinking from what was before, you see. Well, you can't change your way of thinking from what was before if you haven't made that transition into Christ, you see. Well, you make that transition into Christ. Now you're able, as a matter of fact, he commands us to renew our mind and not to be conformed to the way the world thinks about things anymore. Now, no, you're not supposed to think like the world thinks anymore. You're supposed to think like God thinks about things. So that means you're living in this present world, which is fallen in nature and against God, pretty much. It pretty much is against God. And everything is designed to rob you of faith and get you out of faith and get in out of the Word. I mean, pretty much anything is okay except Jesus in the world. That's why things are. So he wants us there in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, to renew our minds in And so we can even get a hold of the good, to even get a hold of inside the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Well, I want the will of God in my life. It's good. That's why. You should want the will of God in your life now. I mean, you say, well, you know, I'm not sure if I want what he wants. Let me tell you what now. You better settle that, because you want what he wants. Yes, you do, because it's all good. Everything about it is good. Everything about it is good and will bless you and your family and help you. Oh, yeah, you want to get into his thoughts. Get into the way things get into the things that he says is good. Amen, because, boy, then you can kind of understand what he has done in you and this marvelous work that he's performed in your heart. Glory to God. Amen. So there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone, any person, any man, any woman's in Christ, he's a new creature. New, brand new. Old things have passed away. That which was before passed away. Don't matter no more what you were before. You hear me? Didn't matter what you went through before. Didn't matter what you was involved in before. Don't matter. None of that matters. Nope, because everything's new. Glory to God. And behold, all things, or look, all things, really, all things become new. Everything's different. Well, we need to understand and perceive inside this new creation who we are. Glory to God. Now, we spent some time. Of course, we was in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We talked about the fact that he sanctifies us wholly through a whole spirit, our soul, and our body, sanctified wholly. Amen. And be preserved blameless until the coming of Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then we spent some time, a little bit of time there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent. Well, we got to stay after it. You got to work at this thing. And what I mean by that is it's not just going to fall off you. Like Dad Hagen, you say, these things are not going to fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree. You know, you're sitting under the tree and the ripe cherry just falls off, knock you in the head, right? Whoa, there it is. Hey, well, these things don't work like that. No, they don't. These things you have to be diligent with. Stay after it every day and look at it and stay on it now, because that is where the change is going to come. I mean, if you just look at it today, let's say, for instance, you look at the word today and you don't, you just sort of let it come in and just go on with your life and do whatever you want to do. Well, it's probably not going to make much of an effect on you. It's probably not going to affect you, and way things turn out for you in this life. It's just not going to. And, because you haven't spent enough time, focusing on that which is important. That which is going to make change in you. You're still thinking about things as before, you know. You haven't really focused on that which is the answer and the reality of the situation, and which is looking beyond that which many times is the thing that's in your face, the thing that appears to be logical, the thing that appears to be the deal. But underneath that, behind that is many times is the real truth of the matter. Well, we want to find out what's really going on, don't we? I don't want to be fooled and about any of these things. I want to know the truth about the matter. I want to know how God sees it. I want to know how I fit into this thing, what he's wanting me to do. Well, you just have to go to the Lord yourself, because you're not going to get my directions from him. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get your directions from him. For me, now you're going to have to go by yourself, one-on-one to the Lord and find out what he wants to happen in you. And it's a step-by-step process. You know, you're not going to see everything today. You know, you're not going to see anything in this week's seminar. You're going to see some things. And then next week, you're going to see a little something else. You're going to see something a little more. And then the next week after that, you're going to see a little something, a little more. And so what you do is you just building on it. You just do a lot like a building, you know, just keep building, just keep coming on up. Just keep building on the basics. Just keep, walking these things out and learning and living and learning and how to be led and directed by the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now here in Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." There's your priority right there. The soul is the priority of your being. This is what the Lord was trying to get across to me. and he's been showing me that the soul is the big deal in your being now. It just is. You pick up, because you have a spirit body, you are a spirit, and you pick up information from the spirit realm. Amen. From the Lord. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit, right into your spirit. And right into your spirit and comes into your soul. You see that? You're picking it up from the spirit realm, but your soul is spirit. And so you're picking these things up from the spirit realm in your soul, and you understand what the Lord is saying to you, and it's thought by thought. Now, it's thought that comes through thoughts, and the revelation comes through thoughts. You see, he shows you things, he turns the lights on, and there it is, and you can see, and you can understand, and that's the way he does it. Praise God. So we see here that the vision of soul and spirit, you see that the word of God is able to separate these two things. The soul and the spirit, two different parts in your being now. And yet they are one. They are one. They operate as one. All right. There's the body and there's the soul. Two different things now. Two different things in your being, because the Word of God separates it out, and you can see clearly what's going on out here with your body. You see, you can understand what's happening, and your relationship as being a spirit, being a soul, and your relationship and how to relate and how to deal with your body. You see that? Amen. And so, yeah, we're all one. We're all one. The body and your soul and your spirit is all one unit. Okay. That's you. That's your unit. I guess you could say that's who you are. It's, a lot of people just look at themselves as a body with a mind or something inside. That's the way a lot of people, but no, you are spirit. Well, isn't it interesting that so many people don't realize that they are a spirit? They don't even know it. They don't even see it. They don't. They have some other kind of a clouded perception of themselves. Who they are? What's consistent in them? It's because of this blindness, you see, that comes in. It's because we don't see it the way it really is. Man, so many just don't see it the way it really is. They don't, and they can't. Unless something comes to them and brings them light, and then they can come and realize what's going on in them, you know? And that's what we're attempting to do here on the series, obviously, is bring to light who you really are, what's really going on inside of you, and how the Lord relates with you, and how he guides you, and how he takes you in certain directions, and because you're a spirit, and you're going to hear from the Spirit of God, see? But most people, they don't concentrate on that. They're not thinking about that. Amen. So here we are in verse 12 of the fourth chapter of Hebrews. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. There's your body. Okay, the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now there is where what's going on in your soul right there. Boom, right there. Thoughts and intents of the heart. What's the heart? We've already determined the heart of your soul. Your heart is your soul. All right. And that part of you is thinking. That part of you has agendas. That part of you, your soul, has intentions. It has motivations. It's all in your soul there. And it has to do with your will. Many times, you know, people just don't realize they're giving in on things. They're settling for things in their will. They just kind of, okay, it's not quite as good as I wanted it or whatever, but okay, I said, you know, are you settling for that? And that's an act of your will, settling for something. And you can hold out, and by an act of your will, you can just wait. You can just order your beans. Oh, just hold on just a minute. I want the best. I want the best here. I don't want some, you know, settling for something. I want the best. Well, how do you do that? Well, that's an act of your will, that you want the best from the Lord. And you're willing to wait. You're willing to order your steps. You're willing to do whatever it takes to get to the best, right? You're not going to settle no more. Well, act of your will. That's what your will is going to do. You're going to either settle or you're going to hold out. You're going to through your will. You decide what happens now. You decide. The Lord obviously wants you to submit your will unto him. That way he can direct your steps into the best things. And that's what I'm trying to get you into, is get you into the things where your life, your will is totally submitted to the Lord, to where he can begin to direct your steps in everything you do. And boy, things change when that happens. My goodness sakes. When you start seeing what he's showing you, oh my goodness, everything changes. Praise the Lord. But notice here, it says here in the last part of that verse 12 that just that the Word of God is a discerner. You think you're fooling God with stuff? You're not fooling God with anything. The Word discerns what you're all about and sees what you're all about. And so our idea, here's where we need to come from, since the Word of God exposes all that. Here's where we need to come from. We need to say, okay, well, let me get the real of what's happening in me there. I don't want to be deceived. I want to get the real what's happening inside here. You know, boy, that's a good thing to do. And because the real is what is going to bring you out of many false perceptions that the matrix is every day just bombarding you with, wanting your attention. And the idea is to get your attention off of what's going on down here in the natural realm and get your attention on the spirit realm. Get your attention on the Lord. Get your attention on that which he has done in you and his direction, what he's saying. And in that, we involve him out here in the natural realm. Praise God. And we can see him do things out here, outside in our bodies, in our finances, in our relationships, in our emotions, in everything that touches our lives. We can get a hold of the real, and we can, once we see it, we can walk it out. We can live it. We can order our steps, and things will change out here. Yes, they will. But change happens inside first. Yeah, then changes all happen inside first. Then things can change out here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we see here that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Knows right what your motivations are. And there is no creature. Notice this verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. No, it don't matter what you think you're doing in the dark and he don't see. He sees everything. He understands everything. He knows where it all came from. There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. He knows right where you are. And that's what makes it so wonderful, since he knows where you are, since he knows every thought about what you're thinking and knows every emotion and knows what's happened in your life. That's the beautiful thing about it, is that every little thing, he understands it. He understands where it came from. He understands how it's affecting you. He understands every little thing about it. I mean, every detail of it. And so because he knows that, he knows how to bring you out of it. He knows how to bring you out of that stuff. And he's got the power to do it. And he needs your cooperation, though. Yes, he does. He needs your cooperation to perform that which he wants to do. But I want you to notice this in verse 12, we talked about this, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now look at verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. Amen. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Here's the thing. Here you noticed in verse 12, you're thinking it's talking about the written Word of God, right? But no, it's talking about the Word of God. Who is that? Jesus. Notice the Word of God is living and powerful. Why is it living and powerful? Because Jesus is the Word. He and the Word are one. Do you understand? He and this Word are one. And in reading this, you think, well, this is talking about the written Word of God, correct? What is talking about the written Word of God? But it goes on to say, and it says, and there is no creature there in verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. Whose sight? The Word's sight. The word sight, Jesus, is the word, and we see that there in the first chapter of John, that the Word was with God, and he was involved in the creation with God, and that he was God. And so that makes that his word and this written word is one, you see. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing center of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts. How can that be? How can it be a discerner? Because there's nothing hid from him. There's nothing hid from the word. There's nothing hid from Jesus. Everything's exposed. Everything is exposed to him, you see. Well, he can help you with whatever's happening in you. Because of that, he sees it all. He understands it all. Amen. So all you have to do pretty much is the beginning place here is to get yourself into the place where he can do something with you, that he can help you. He can show you. He can illuminate you. He can show you the way out. He can show you how to think. He can show you how, and in doing that, the feelings will follow. They will follow your thoughts. Yes, they will. Praise God. Amen. Now here's a scripture. Of course, the Hebrews 4 is a very important scripture, and it explains the priority of our being: soul, spirit, and joints and marrow. So we see at the top of everything. Well, let me bring this graphic back up again. Excuse me. Where you see that the spirit and the body are both similar. How we operate in both realms. These are two different, complete different realms, the spirit realm and the material realm. And we operate in both realms as a soul. And we flow in the natural realm, and we flow also in the spirit realm, you see. And so the big deal is your soul, and in your soul in particular, the big deal is your will. Praise God. Now, notice here in Proverbs chapter 20, this is a scripture that Dad Hagen used to enjoy. He would often quote this scripture in terms when he's talking about the three part of man. He has a wonderful book out entitled "The Man on Three Dimensions," which is it's not a very big book. You probably read it in, I'm thinking, half hour or an hour, somewhere in there. Really good book, so you'll get your hands on that "Man on Three Dimensions" by Kenneth E. Hagin. Really a good book, and there's a lot of wonderful works out now on your nature and how you're just a lot of wonderful things out there. T.L. Osborne has some things out on it. Many other good ministers have good books out that delve into this in detail. And it's good to read these books, as long as they're along with the Word of God. Now, I mean, if they start departing from the Word of God and departing away from the truth, well, then we have a problem with that, right? Amen. But here in Proverbs chapter 20, where Dad Hagin used to quote this a lot, and he'd say the spirit of man in verse 27 in Proverbs 20, says the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner parts of his heart, or the inner depths of his heart. Once again, that's Proverbs 20 and verse 27. It says the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Now, we noticed on that graphic how the spirit is how the Lord's going to talk to you. He's going to illuminate through you, through that spirit. See, that part of your being right there comes into your soul. And it says that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his what? His heart. What's your heart? Well, we've determined that the heart is the core of your being. The heart is your soul. So the Word of God divides all that. It shows us in detail there, see? Proverbs 20, of course, that's Old Covenant. Proverbs 20 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. So he knows every deep thing that's in your heart, every deep part of you. He sees it, he understands it, and he knows it. Amen. And the Spirit of God searches and understands and sees it all. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we're not hiding anything from him. No. We're not. It's kind of silly. Folks think they hide stuff from God. Kind of dumb, you know, because he don't matter where you go, no matter what you do, he knows all about that. And I mean, knows it through and through. Yes, sir. He knows it. He knows where it came from. He knows why you ain't no hiding from him. Come on now. Just get real with him. Just be honest with him. Just be true with him. And he meets people right there where truth is, where honesty is. That's where he ain't playing with no falsity here. I mean, people that want to play games with him, he ain't playing. You know, he understands what they're doing. You know, he sees through it all. I mean, come on, you might as well get honest. You might as well get real. Might as well get true with him. And it's at that point where you really get true and you really get honest with him. That's when you can. That's when he will communicate with you. He's not going to sit there and communicate with you and talk with you when you're off in la-la land somewhere off and you're thinking. And listen, man, you just got to get honest with him now. Get real with him now. Because he knows anyhow. You just acknowledging where you are, right? You just acknowledge, oh, here's where I'm at. Lord, help me. Well, thank God he will help you right where you are. Doesn't matter what you're dealing with in your life. He will help you. I mean, just start looking to him, man. And realizing he's going to help you wherever you're at. Praise God. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. What does that mean? He's going to illuminate you. He could turn the light on and search. And many times you don't know what's in that soul. Many times you're blind to what's really in that soul. But he sees it, he knows it, and he's searching it. You see that? Spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. So he's looking, he sees it all. Well, we got to go to him to find out what's in here. We got to go to him to get the real of it, because we can be deceived and we could not see things right. We could not feel things right. We could not think things right, but he sees through it all. So we need to go to him honestly, with integrity, humbly, asking for direction and light. Help us understand ourselves, understand why we think certain ways. Understand why we do certain things and why we go certain ways, why we feel certain things. We can get all of this from the Lord. He sees it all, knows it all. And we can get all this information right from him. Isn't that wonderful? What a beautiful thing to understand is that we can go right to him and we can see the way things really are within us because he sees it all. And we can go to him and we can find out from him what's really happening here. And really, that's the only way you're going to really know, because there's so much blindness. There's so much deception that's happening from everything that's happening out here in the fallen natural realm that it affects our soul. And we can get into deception. We can get into blindness. We can get into just not understanding, realizing what in the world is really going on behind everything. Well, he wants to bring you out of that. And he wants to show you everything that's really going on in you and illuminate that to you. Praise God. Amen. Isn't that a good verse? I really like that one. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Your spirit. Now, the third part, you see that other part of your being there, that spirit right there. It comes in through this. You contact that spirit is always. Now, listen, that your spirit's always in contact with spirit realm. Just like your body is always in contact with this natural realm. Your body is. Well, your spirit's the same way. You're always in contact with the spirit realm because you are a spirit. Always. 24/7. Whether you realize it or not, whether you understand it or not, still so. It's still so. So that spirit part of you right? You know, that part of your being that you can't see from out here, that part of your being that's inside in that body, that part of your being, that's who you are. Okay. And that's, so he illuminates us through the spirit. That spirit realm comes into our spirit body, and we pick it up. We pick it up right there in our soul, because our soul is also spirit. Amen. Well, I know I've said a lot of these things over and over again, but I want you to get this in you big time now. I mean, heavy, big. I mean, to just know it better than you know your name. You just know these things. Well, you got to spend some time in them. You got to think about them. You got to look at them. And understand what's going on within you. And once you get a hold of that, well, then everything else out here begins to make a little bit more sense as you get a hold of things in time. Praise God. Amen. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 today in today's seminar. And praise God, this is a great scripture, and we see the contrast here in this scripture between the outer man and the inner man. Of course, now he's not talking about the three part. He's talking about the outer and the inner. Well, the inner man is the spirit. Okay. That's the real you. You're a spirit. You live in this body. Okay. You have a soul. Well, that soul is you. All right. So basically what the way things are really set up in you is your soul is a big deal, and you're supposed to operate through the spirit realm, through your spirit body, and you're supposed to operate in the natural realm through your natural body, through your brain. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Now we know that this outward man is death doomed, the way things are in this body right now. And aging is a manifestation of the death that is working in the body. You see, the mortality that's working in the body. And it's through that understanding that you understand that you're living in a fallen body, a body that is death doomed, a body that is death has been entered into it, and you're not going to change that. You're not going to change that. And as time goes along, you know, obviously your body ages. You don't look the same you did 30 years ago, 20 years ago. You look different. I look different than I did 30 years, 20 years ago. I'm still the same inside, but the outside is different, right? And here we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore we don't lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, or that death is working in the outward man. You see that? Yet, look at this, the inward man is being renewed day by day. So you never get old inside. You see that? There's no aging inside. You just come into a maturity. I guess you could come into an understanding. There's a growth of understanding inside, you see, but you don't change. You don't die. Your inner man is eternal, and there's no death in there to work. You see, once you're born again, there's no death in your spirit at all. And there's nothing in there that can age. There's nothing in there. It's constantly renewed by the Spirit of God, being hooked up with God, being hooked up with Jesus. Your spirit is constantly, that life is flowing in your spirit, coming up into your soul all the time, every day. Doesn't matter how long, 30, 40, 50 years, doesn't matter how long you're down here, that spirit is constantly renewed day by day. For our light affliction, here in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So he's saying this present life, however tough it is, however rough it can be or whatever, just remember this. It's just for a moment. Now, I know it seems like more than a moment to you, maybe, but think about this man that wrote this. Now, the things that he went through, my goodness sake, you need to read about what Paul went through there in the epistles. Wow, the stuff that he went through, the persecution that he endured, my goodness, it was so extraordinary what he endured and lived through. But Lord, as he says here, it's light affliction. He calls it for our light affliction. That's what he calls it. Well, he's all by it now. He's got through it, and of course he's with the Lord right now. But just think about it. He called it light affliction. And it was, as far as I'm concerned, it was some heavy duty stuff that Paul went through, but he calls it light affliction in comparison of what we have, in comparison of the eternal weight of glory that's coming, that we have. It's not even worthy to be compared. Basically, he was saying that light affliction, but he went through some stuff, but he still called it light. Well, what I may be going through, real light compared to what Paul was experiencing on earth. But notice there, it says that here, that this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding, boy, I tell you those words, far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Big stuff there. Amen. So if we can get a grip and understand what this present life is all about, that it is temporary, very, very brief. And we need to understand that this present existence that we have down here is very, very brief, and that we need to be focusing on that which is important. Amen. And that is the spiritual realm, and that which is important to God. And that's what we want to get important in our heart, in our mind. Amen. He says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. See there, he's talking about looking at things spiritually, looking at things from your soul, looking at things that aren't seen through faith, through his word, you see. Not at what's going on out here, because this stuff is temporary, and this stuff can be changed out here. Your body can, you can change your body. You can change other things out here in the natural realm. Your spirit, through the Spirit of God, you can change a lot of things out here. Amen. You can. Amen. It says while we look not at the things which are seen, the outside, what's going on out here, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Aren't you glad? These things, all these negative things that we see and hear, breaks your heart, some of the things you hear and see. But thank God they're temporary. Thank God they're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. Well, I'm just about out of time today. Oh, my goodness. Seemed like we just kind of skimmed the surface here. I didn't really get into some of the depth of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but we'll pick up there next week, and we'll get into there some more and move on from there and see what the Lord will have us to do and how he wants to do things. And I just believe that today that you're getting a hold of some things, maybe just a few more things, maybe a whole lot of things you got a hold of today. Maybe the Lord illuminated you to some big stuff in you. I just encourage you to stay plugged in and just listen to the Spirit of God as you watch these. And just determine in your heart, you're going to go the whole way with us on this road trip called Know Thyself. Because I believe if you won't give up the ship, that you just stay hanging right in there with us, that you stay in this place with us, that we're studying about the three part of man and our relationship with the Lord. And it's just going to get bigger and bigger in you. And as you keep looking at it, but if you don't esteem it, you know, if you don't think it's that important, and you want to look at other things and you think that those things are important, well, that's between you and God, isn't it? But I'm just telling you what he's showed me to do here, directing us to do here on the Road of Faith seminar, that we're wanting to bring out the things that he wants to bring out. And so, far as I know, but for him, this is real, super duper important for you. Amen. So I hope you hang in there with us as we travel along on this road trip called Know Thyself. Well, I sure love you, and I appreciate you tuning in and staying with us throughout this seminar. And I trust that the Word of God is coming forth in your understanding, and you're finding out more and more and more and more who you are, who you really are, and what's really going on inside of you. And that's what we're after, of course, here on this seminar. Well, until next time, this is your friend Ken Fletcher saying, I love you.